It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guy.
Welcome, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM and our friends up in Big Rapids. Bob, I was up there to Ferris. I sit on the alumni board and I had a meeting, and a couple of the guys that were in the meeting from the area said, "Hey, I'm listening to the Grillin' Guys in Big Rapids now on WBRN." I'm like, "Yes, you are."
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to be all over the state and having a little fun barbecuing. But I'm Jop and he is barbecue. Bob, what's cooking, baby?
Yeah, that's real cool. And thanks to all you folks up in the Mid-Northern Michigan, WBRN, Big Rapids, Bulldog Territory.
Yeah.
Can't forget my coyotes either up in Reed City.
You bet.
I had an interesting chat with, I've got a couple of young ladies that work for me, one of them being my daughter, Olivia, and another one's a nursing student, just graduated from Ferris. And she was telling me when she went up for a graduation at Ferris, she wanted to take her family out for a nice meal, and this girl loves barbecue, so she went to Chase Creek Smokehouse. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining the smokiest show on the airwaves, and we're gonna take the slow road. We're gonna open up a nice Pepsi RC Cola and cruise the back roads. So we're just gonna take it easy today and talk about some of the simpler things of barbecue and grilling and the deck life that we all aspire to, because we don't want to put on a 500 series course when, you know, we got some freshmen in the crowd.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So
we're reminded of that every now and then, that we kind of maybe we talk over a little too sophisticated for the average guy at the in his backyard. So we're going to slow her down
today. And I don't get accused of that very often.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No one really ever accuses me of being too smart. All right. I get that. Yeah. But anyway, so
before we do that, I want to just say a thank you to our new sponsor, Premier Botanics in Lowell, Michigan. It's right on Main Street as you're coming into town. Right when you see the Burger King on the right, hit the brakes because their driveway is on that intersection.
Yep.
And we did Up in Smoke last night. I'm sorry you missed it, but it was a smash hit. I did a soft open the week before and I sold out in 3 hours. So I came loaded for bear
right
last night.
Yep.
And it was the people were just, they were hungry.
Right.
So I made more brisket for an event than I think I've ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is good brisket is hard to come by. And we'll cover that too, because I think that
now there you go. We're not going into the hard stuff.
It isn't hard. It isn't hard if we talk slow and we walk people through it. But where I was going is that's a piece of meat that people are intimidated to cook. And
yeah, and I'd say if you are, stay away from it for a while. Build up your skills on the simple stuff. If you're talking smoking and you just got a smoker or you want to get a smoker, do something simple, like get some country ribs.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to practice on, because why? They're cheap.
Right.
And they're good if you do them right.
If
you just throw some smoke on them, throw some seasoning, whatever you want. If you put salt and pepper, they're going to be great.
Right.
You don't have to have, pig's ass or any big brand to make them great. You can pull out some, Mr. Clean if you want. Spray a little Mr.
Right.
Clean.
Yeah. So a country rib, what is that?
Yeah, it's a pork butt, shoulder, cut on a bandsaw into slender strips, so it looks a little bit like a rib.
Right.
It's a poor man's rib.
Right. And they're
good. Which is funny, because ribs were poor man's food forever.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like chicken wings. We'll get to that.
Decided
too,
they were
right?
So good.
Yeah. They used to throw them away. Now it's the highest priced piece of meat on the bird.
So since we're talking simple, that I inadvertently just threw that out there, but it's not a bad thing to start on, because I remember as a young husband wanting to make them, because that was something my mother made all the time.
Sure.
And hers were so good. She used a crock pot.
That's what I was going to say. She probably used a crock pot. She didn't put them on a grill or a smoker. But
so I kind of followed in her footsteps in the kitchen in a lot of ways. She was an amazing cook.
And lots of mouths to feed, man.
Well, her mother grew up as a cook in a lumber camp in the UP.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the sophisticated French lady had to pick up her tools and go out to a lumber camp and cook, you know, hardcore.
Right.
But she was French, so she knew how to cook.
Yeah.
And my mother learned a lot from her. I've learned that from her. So what I did is I took those country ribs and I threw them on the grill because I didn't have a smoker back then as a young dad.
Okay, so a lot of people young might dad, not have a smoker, that,
absolutely,
right?
And this is kind of how I'm looking at our progression, you know, young guys, when we were.
Right.
You starting off at the grill.
I'm trying to remember if that was it. Yeah, melting the side of my house.
We have right. stories.
Right, yeah.
But I just took those things, and I have no clue. I probably put salt and pepper on them. Maybe garlic salt's one of my favorites. And I threw them on my grill. I think at that time I had a Phoenix grill, which is like a Holland grill on steroids. And
it's a gas grill, though.
I seared them up. Yep, seared them up. And got them off there. And I threw them in a crock pot then with a little barbecue sauce. And holy cow, was I in love. It's like, yeah, this is great.
Well, and that shoulder always, if you don't burn it, it's hard to ruin it. I mean, you burn it, you'd ruin it. But it's so tender. When it gets cooked.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And that's why that it seems like sweet success.
Yeah.
Because you've got a really tender piece of meat and you camouflage it with some barbecue sauce and you're eating, it's really pulled pork cut in a rib shape.
It is. Yeah. It's convenient.
Right.
You have finger food. And I think the nice thing is you have like bark all the way around it.
Right.
You know?
So bark, what is bark?
Yeah, the outside
not
of,
your dog.
Of a piece of protein that you're smoking.
Right.
And it creates a bark.
A bark is that crispy stuff on the outside. It's concentrated flavor.
Salt and sugar.
Right, salt and sugar that kind of crystallizes on the outside of your piece of meat. And it gets dark and it's very flavorful.
Looks like bark.
Right, yep. Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on the tree you're looking at, I guess. But anyway, yeah, so that's easy. And I think that you buy any commercial barbecue seasoning, it's basically sugar, salt, maybe some paprika, some garlic, maybe some pepper, but you don't have to get the big fancy ones. You can buy something.
And you can go in your spice cabinet. If you or your wife have a nice collection of a lot of spices,
right.
You can just go in there and play.
Right.
And that's how you get better.
Right.
Playing.
Yep. So, you know, you just, and sprinkle it on pretty liberally. I wouldn't like, you know, be sparse at all. Is put it on there because when you're handling the meat on the grill, you're going to knock some of it off. It just happens.
The only thing I would caution is the salt side.
Yes. You know? Right.
So
yep.
If you're balancing your salt and sugar out, you can go a little heavy. But I guess just thinking about that process of going through the spice cabinet, I think that's how you actually tune yourself up is by playing, by I don't know, experimenting with, gee, I never used coriander before, or gosh, you know, what's fennel seed, or different things like that, and tarragon, just things that you might have for some reason because they came in a kit.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get the spice kit when you're married.
Right. Right?
You've had that bottle for 5-10 years.
Yeah. Probably not any good anymore.
Well,
but you might.
They're dried.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
I've used a lot of old stuff, cilantro and all that stuff. It seems to be just as bad as when I got it.
Yeah. And yeah. And if you don't have some of that stuff, any commercial barbecue seasoning is going to have those first four or five ingredients that we talked about. People have asked us, why don't you guys come out with your own barbecue seasoning? And it's a simple answer. There's 100 good ones out there already.
Yeah, and we probably should because you hear it enough times. We can make some money, but we've got friends that do it.
Right, and that's a crowded space, man. There's not anything missing in that market, really. I mean,
like if you're a microbrewer trying to get your beer on the shelf.
Right, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Exactly. But anyway, so you list the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're on Jethro FM. It's a lot of fun, and we hope you enjoy the show too, because we're just getting started, and we're gonna just casually walk through the backyard and your grills and your smokers this week. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at MillbrookTack.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and all over this great state of Michigan or wherever you're listening in the world, because we do have a podcast too that you send to you free of charge. All you gotta do is go to thegrillingguys.com. Up in the corner, you'll see a set of headphones. Click on that, and we'll send it to you free. Just love to share our barbecue knowledge.
Yeah, Randy here takes a bucket of those down to the UPS desk every week.
Yeah, right.
Sends
yeah
them out. Hey, welcome. Thanks for joining us. And he's absolutely right. Get that podcast. It's just this show, but we send it out in segments. And you can carry it with you and share it with friends, because you've got a buddy you work with or a girlfriend you work with that just got a grill and is asking you questions, or you just got the grill and you've got questions.
Right.
And I'm not saying we have all the answers, but we have a bunch of them.
Right.
And if we don't, we can get them for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the fun experience of doing the show, is just meeting all the people that just love food and love to grill.
Yep.
And it's so nice to meet them. I have the opportunity often now, because I have the Grilling Guys Takeout out in Lowell. It's at 501 Ottawa. Now, the last couple Friday nights, I was at Premier Botanics, just a couple blocks down the street.
Right.
But Thursday and Friday, typically, I'm at 501 Ottawa, and I've got all these people, and Jethro happens to have a tower in Lowell.
Right.
So they've got a huge audience in Lowell, or at least a nice size one, because they come in to the takeout.
Right.
And they are happy to see what we're doing. And I love the engagement. It's just so nice to meet people who bother to listen to your show.
Right. Yeah. And but they're coming for good barbecue and they're getting it because you got a lot of repeat customers.
Okay. I absolutely love that thought, because this one guy comes in who works for Kent County Parks.
Okay.
He's the supervisor for Fallsburg Park.
Oh, that's a wonderful park.
He's got a crew of 31 people that take care of that big property. Now, they're summer kids, you know?
Right.
But still, that's a big piece of property. And do you notice how gorgeous it always looks?
Oh, yeah.
These guys are doing the job. But this guy comes in every Thursday for lunch. And he brings a different kid with him every week.
Yep.
And he's a sharp dude and loves barbecue and does a fair amount himself. So he brought this handsome young kid in, and he's grinning, you know, he wants to try this barbecue out, and he's getting a brisket sandwich. And so while I'm waiting for my flat top to warm up, because I forgot to turn it on, I did
first customer of the day.
Right. Oh, I was humping Thursday because I got all these big jobs coming up. And anyway, regardless, I probably need more help. So I'm tap dancing, trying to keep his time. And as the griddle's warming up, I walk over to him and kind of show him a couple nice slices of brisket. And I've got my gloves on.
Right.
So I pull a piece off and I hand it to him. And his eyes got like huge. He's like, oh, I didn't know you were going to throw some food.
Yeah.
He caught it.
Yeah.
No, I just explained brisket to him a little bit and pulled it apart. And I said, see, you want it to pull about like this and then come apart. You don't want it falling apart.
Right.
And he was all about that.
Right.
So it's just fun to turn people on to barbecue. And I know I'm wandering, but it goes along with that theme we talked about of people venturing into their backyard. And, you know, and I stand by that. You just have to explore. I didn't get really good until I went out to Kansas City and got formally trained. I mean, I was a good foodie. I could cook like a mad dog, but I didn't understand a lot of the science of smoking and meat and proteins and temperatures and, you know, all these critical things that deliver that big, tough piece of meat to your friends and family in a beautiful, tender, juicy fashion. And that's your goal.
Right. Yep. Every time. And you're going to mess it up. You just are. Something's going to happen.
It's okay.
But it's okay. It's just a piece of meat. They make more every day. And you can, but you know, you might not want to start with a $15 a pound piece of meat. So that's kind of where we're going today is let's just walk before we run
a little bit. And a little word to the wise, if you're watching the news at all, the food supply in Europe is crashing quick. And that stuff always comes here. I've been saying it for a couple months, but if you look at the supermarket, you might notice a bunch of empty shelves.
Yep.
So it might be a good time to stock up on those things that you know you want.
Yep.
Because we have, I hear between 6 and 10 days at any point in time, there are 6 and 10 days worth of food in our distribution system in this country.
Right.
Now, there's truckers and trains going on strike right now.
They avoided it, I think, hopefully.
I don't know, but either way, things are not right.
Yeah.
This is a strange time. So if you have a pantry, load that baby up. There's nothing wrong with canned corn.
Right, yeah.
Right. You'll be hungry. Yep. You'll love it.
Yeah.
You'll find new ways to barbecue corn.
Yeah. Well, you can. It's good. I got a new flat top. I've been playing with it.
And you can go in any direction. You pick any food. You can throw it on a grill or a flat top, and all of a sudden you've got 20 minutes of concentrated conversation about proteins and flavors.
So let's talk about the grill. I get this question all the time. If I can only have one grill, what should it be? You know, we're just getting started.
Weber kettle.
Right. And so that's where I'm going is you either get a gas grill or you get a charcoal grill.
You don't even have to think about it.
Right.
If you can only have one grill.
Right.
For $200, you can get them anywhere.
Yep.
Weber kettle.
Right.
I buy them as gifts for people. And for their first, all my kids, for their first grill. And well, Alex just moved to his new house. And, of course, he had that motorcycle accident. And I had to help him. So I'm moving that same grill I bought him in college.
Yep.
It's in beautiful shape. He went and got a cover for it right off the bat because he kept it on his deck chained at Western because there's a lot of thieves down there. He still has it.
Yep, right.
Now, a smart thief would have brought a screwdriver and he could have taken it.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, that Weber kettle, and he smokes on it.
Right. Well, it's a versatile piece of equipment, and there again, you don't have to spend a bunch of money to get in the game.
No, it was $175 at the time. I think they're $225 now.
Right.
I just bought another one for my son Jordan.
Yep.
I got him the copper colored one.
Oh, I think it must have been on sale.
They got some pretty ones. Yeah. Well, you know, they're just an enamel or powder coated.
Right.
It's not the porcelain.
Right. Yeah. They don't make those dogs anymore, but. But anyway, that's a charcoal grill. So you said he grilled, the kids learned to grill and smoke. The difference there on that grill is where you put the fire. If you put the fire on one side and your food on the other, you're smoking.
That's right.
And if you put the fire under the food, you're grilling. I mean, it's that simple. And there's more to it than that, but fundamentally, that's it.
Well, I've told a story before of being on the beach in Florida and having my friend bring ribs.
Right.
And say, what are we going to do? And it's like, it's your dinner for dinner tonight, dude.
Right.
Bob, what are we going to do? It's like, oh, I just inherit your problems.
Right, yeah.
Because
right.
I have more aprons.
Yeah. You just gave me one of those.
Okay, that's
week.
All I'm wearing then.
Right, yeah, right, girls. Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
We'll see how
appetizers.
Many, we'll see how many come to dinner tonight.
Yeah.
But that, he had a little Smoky Joe.
Okay.
And I've had a few of those. It's a mini kettle.
Right.
It's the tabletop version of a kettle. Don't put it on a wood table.
Right.
But, and that's, you know, maybe $100. And if you're living in a smaller place and have a small deck, or you don't want it on a wooden deck, but if you have a small patio or you want something you can tailgate with.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Just beautiful.
Yep.
And that's a Smoky Joe by Weber. Still American made.
Yep. Speaking of tailgates, we might cover that here in the next segment or two because it is tailgate season. All college and high school football is in full swing, and it's just fun to get together before the game, put a little bun in the belly. So we're going to talk a little tailgating. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys. We're babbling through the show today, and just thought we'd take a step back, slow down, and just talk a little bit about just fundamentals of grilling and feeding your family and feeding your friends when they come over. And, you know, anywhere that Bob and I go, people ask us questions about barbecue. It just happens. I mean, that's kind of why we do this, because this thing surely doesn't pay real well, but we do have a lot of fun and we have a lot of opportunity to share our knowledge with people. And I find the big satisfaction I get out of it is you'll see a light come on, right? You'll be talking away and then they'll start putting things together and they'll go, yeah. Oh, and then if it's a friend, you might get a call in a couple of weeks and say, hey, I did that. And
texting's a big one for
right,
me.
Right, yes, exactly.
I get a friend of a friend texted, hey, this is so-and-so. Somebody gave me your number. Hope you don't mind, but.
Yeah.
And then you've got a thread that's like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm driving, dude.
Yeah, right.
No, I really don't mind.
Right.
I you know, the older you get, and I'm 65 now, I consider it kind of my responsibility to pass on certain bits of knowledge or
right.
like hunting and cooking and fishing and anything I can to the younger generations, because that's how you learn and that's how I learned
right.
a lot.
Right.
Is the old timers. And I love picking up that old
and I are one now.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. I are.
So let's talk a little bit. It's football season, right? It's the fall of the year. Great, my favorite season of the year, because there's hunting, there's great fishing, but there's also this thing called tailgating. And at work, I because of again, being a grilling guy, we're planning one for the end of October for the Michigan-Michigan State game. It's down in Ann Arbor. It's down in Ann Arbor this year. So I, of course, get drafted to help with the menu and things of that nature.
Oh, they're not going to hire us?
No. I don't want to drive all the way down there. And with all that, there's going to be 100 people there. Plus, where we're doing it, you got to use caterers on site. So,
oh, my. Well, yeah. Hello.
It's good, though. It's turnkey.
I'm here.
I understand. But I don't have to work this time. I can go and enjoy it. But I am kind of controlling
the menu. See how that works, Conrad? Yeah. I was trying to get in on some game action, and
right.
it's just like got the brush back.
Not there.
Got the brush back.
So, but short of hiring somebody to do it, like the Grilling Guys Takeout, the Grilling Guys Catering, if you're doing this yourself, there's a long list of things that I would have with me in order to get ready to tailgate at a game. And if I'm cooking. Now, a lot of people will
bring
things all pre-made.
It really depends on how you roll.
Right.
If you don't have a truck, if you got a small vehicle, you got to, you know, it comes down to ergonomics.
Right. But if you do bring it, like we're going to do, and talk about in this segment, or we got nothing to talk about, so let's do that.
Well, right? We used to bring Big Brown, that big
excursion. Yeah. That was the land yacht. I think that's the biggest or passenger vehicle ever made on Earth, that Ford Excursion. Boy, you could pack it. We'd do 200 people at a tailgate out of the back end of that thing, man. That was crazy. But so Bob's big on, we usually talk about this during the holidays too, is a toolbox for yourself. And I, Bob bought me one. It's a DeWalt box on wheels.
Oh, you got the best one I ever built.
Right, yep. And and it's maybe like 2 foot long and a foot wide, and it's got a couple wheels on the back and a handle on the front. You can visualize that.
He looks like a flight attendant when right, he's yeah, going right, down the
yeah,
street.
Yeah, exactly.
A flight attendant with tools.
But in there, and I'll spare you the full list, but things that jump out at me that you have to have, spatulas, tongs. Don't get those kind of tongs, guys, that when you squeeze them together, that two ends miss each other. You know, those cheap ones that don't have
yeah,
a hinge.
Spend they're just some money sprung. And get the nice long yeah. kitchen stainless ones.
Right, and they got a hinge on
Go
them.
Go to a kitchen shop.
Right, but they're still only like $5 or $6 a pair. They're not like 30
yeah,
bucks.
Yeah, they're up more now.
Well, probably are, yeah.
But you can even, you can get them at the dollar store that will work.
Right. So I dropped the box and it fell over. And the lid wasn't on right, and it fell over, and all my tongs fell out. So I had to, I just felt like I had to wash them, right? They were on the ground, whatever. I have 22 pair.
5 seconds.
22 pair
you got 5 seconds.
Of tongs in that box. And my wife's like, I think we probably ought to go tong shopping, Jop. Don't you think you need some more? And I'm like, well, the reason that I have them is different sizes for different things, right? If you've got a smoking hot grill, and you want a longer set so that you're not reaching over it to flip a burger or turn a dog or move a piece of chicken around, you want a little longer ones. But the shorter ones are easier to work with, and maybe for serving, I use those, the shorter ones. If I've got a big pan of pulled pork, okay, you don't want long tongs in there. You want little short ones that people can grab a hold of and grab some meat. So there's different uses for different things. But at the end of the day, you're going to drop them. It just happens. I dropped the whole box, which is why I counted them. But you're going to drop a pair, so have another one with you. That's all I'm saying is put a couple pairs of tongs in your box. You certainly yeah. don't need what I have, but we cater, right? I mean, so we've got tongs everywhere for everything.
You got some more catering coming up. You had a couple of big bidders at Ducks Unlimited, right?
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's cool. So maybe you'll lose some tongs to those duck hunters.
Right, yeah. Well, it'll all be good. That's a whole other story.
You'll find some tongs in a duck blind someday. You'll know they're joppies.
maybe. So other things in this box. Toothpicks. Make sure you got toothpicks. When you're eating barbecue, somebody usually needs a toothpick. Those are in there. This time
and
of year.
And you can reuse those, can't you?
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. No.
I don't wash those. No, not so much. Mini flashlight. You know what? You're usually cleaning up in the dark. If you're feeding people before a game, especially a night game, it'll be.
That's where I will tell you right now, I went on to eBay and started shopping for hat lights.
Yeah.
Because hunting season's on us. And all the new hat lights now charge with a mini USB.
Okay.
So I bought several because I got my wife one. I got her one that makes her look like an ape because she likes to go do these adventurous things with her girlfriends in the woods and whatever. And,
right.
You know, it's kind of nice to have landing lights when yep. when you're out there. Show the bear where you're at.
Right.
But all these little hat lights now, some of them have motion detectors on them, so they'll come on when you're.
I don't know how it would ever go off with my head bobbing around when I'm talking, you know?
And then I got these, and this I think of for tailgate. I bought a bunch of these. They're little yellow square LED lights, and the back has a little stand that pops out. And again, you charge it with a mini USB.
Okay.
And it's got two or three settings, and you can hang it or hook it. So if I'm packing up at night after a right. tailgate or anything like this, I got these things like this last Friday morning. I was out at the smoker getting ready for that event.
Right.
And I had them lined up on the fence because I don't have power back there yet. And it was fantastic. And they were $12 on eBay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So I would bring some Ziploc bags. Put
definitely.
Those in there. There's
garbage
always in,
bags,
right,
too.
Garbage bag is another one. Always room for a roll of duct tape. Got to have duct tape. These are non-eating things, but they just come in handy. If you got nowhere to hang a trash bag, you can duct tape it to the pole on the tent, and then it's, you know, it's open. You can put stuff in it. You're not,
yeah,
you know, those kind of things.
There's another thing depending on. I mean, if yeah, there's lots of ways to hang different things,
right,
but
right.
but they have little apparatus. My wife made her own. She took one of her old hippie days belts, you know, with the dual holes and metal all the way around it. and she bought these little hardware hooks, and she straps that around something, and she can hang like everything she needs where she's at, like that's especially cool. camping or tailgating.
Right. Yep. So you know, those are a few. Bottle opener. Always bring a bottle opener. Somebody's going to have something that doesn't twist off or whatever. You might as well throw in a wine screw as well, because somebody's going to want to have a bottle of wine. They forgot their opener, so do one of those.
Had a wine screw or two.
Yep. paper towel. Right. Goes right with that.
You got
right?
a comment, Conrad?
No. I'm happily married.
Yeah.
Thank
right.
you.
Right.
Oh, so he's never had a wine screw?
Right. Yeah.
Saying?
Right. Well, that was before. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Whatever. Sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Right. But anyway, so those are a few things that go in that box that you want to have with you that maybe not everybody thinks about. So, but let's talk a little bit about tailgate food. My number one is I like things with a handle. I can skewer things, or I can get something with maybe like a chicken wing with a little bone on the end.
Let me just skewer this conversation, and okay. Let's finish it in the next segment.
All right. Coming up next, it's tailgate food. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. My grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're kind of wandering all over today, but that's okay. I think that some of the stuff we're talking about is relevant.
I got to take credit for the wandering because I'm absolutely exhausted.
Yeah.
I've had a couple really long days, so coffee won't even work.
Right. Yeah. Drink water. It'll be good for you. It's better for you anyway. Hey, tailgate food. It's tailgate season. We've been talking about this for like the last 25 minutes and haven't really said anything.
Covered the hat lights pretty well, though.
Yeah. So tailgate food. I like things with a handle, and what I mean by that is when I'm there, I usually got a beverage in one hand, so I only got one other hand to eat with. There's generally not a great place to sit things. You can put it on the hood of the car, or maybe if you're fancy, you brought a table with you. But most times, you don't.
Yeah, and remember that guy that had those plates that
you set
here? It had a hole in the middle, and you'd put your beer bottle up in one hand, and this plate would rest over it. And
slide over the neck of it.
So you could hold on to your plate and your beer at the same time. It was kind of cool.
Right. I don't know why they never took off, but they didn't.
Maybe they did.
I still got some of them in a box.
You got them all.
In my garage. Yeah.
Tailgate, see?
Right.
He keeps everything.
But so kebabs are easy, and there's everybody knows what the day before, put them in a Ziploc bag, throw them in a Tupperware, whatever, and then when you fire up your grill at the tailgate, you've got them ready to go.
Yeah, you can even go down to D&W or Sobeys and just buy them pre-built for you.
If
you don't think of it in advance,
right?
Just stop into Sobey or somebody that's a good meat market, and they pre-build them.
Right, and they're really good for tailgating because they cook up quick. They'll work on a charcoal grill really well. Turn them two or three times. You can throw some marinade on them if you want, or just salt, pepper,
whatever.
You know what
else is nice at a tailgate?
What's that?
A slider.
Yeah. Yep, right. Especially at a baseball game.
And chili dogs, hot dogs. I mean, this simple. You don't have to get sophisticated and have shrimp skewers and, you know, oysters Rockefeller, which are nice.
Right.
We did oysters Rockefeller.
Yeah, I know. And but they're, you know, again, where I was going with that before the rabbit came in the room and we went down his trail, is that usually you've only got one hand, and if there's a little plate or whatever, it's on a stick. You can eat it. You throw the stick away and you move on, and you don't have too many things to hang on to, because I like convenience. Sliders are good; they're small, a couple bites, you're done with them. There's a lot of really good stuff out there.
Yeah, and if you don't get a chance to go to like the Schnitz Deli and get those beautiful Vienna rolls, or even Costco has some cool little ones, you can always pick up a package of King Hawaiian rolls.
Yep.
Makes for a good little slider bun.
Yeah, chicken goes really good on those.
Ooh.
I think. Yeah, you know, if you can get. And that's another thing is if you've got chicken breasts, cut them in quarters, and they'll fit right on those really well. And I would cut those up after I grill them, because if you cut them up too small, they'll dry out, I think, before they're done. And a full chicken breast is better cooked whole, and then just slice it up to the size you want it for the slider after it's cooked. That would be my tip on that, just because they dry out too quick.
That's why I do the bone-in chicken skin on all that, because you stash them.
Yep.
They're kind of a perfect little container. They don't dry up. You've got all that fat skin on them.
Yep.
And same thing with thighs. It just protects them. It
takes them a little longer to cook with the bone in.
Yeah, take your time.
And you know, the one thing that I didn't mention in the box that's always there is a digital thermometer. Chicken brings to mind
if
that it's very important to have a thermometer with you, because nobody likes to cut into a piece of chicken and have that blood down by the bone.
And then get the diarrhea.
Well, maybe, yeah. or cook it more, and now you've cut it open, it's going to dry out and all of that.
Hey, so, if you go to thegrillingguys.com and look over to the right side of the front webpage, you'll see all of our sponsors, one of them being ThermoWorks. ThermoPens are $79. They read in under a second now to give you a temperature.
Right.
And we used to be impressed with our first ones years ago because they read the temperature in 3 seconds.
Yep.
And I'm using my old one down at the kitchen, and it takes 3 seconds. I'm used to the one I have at home that reads in under a second.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm watching the temperature going, come on, come on.
Yeah.
So you could hit thegrillingguys.com. There's lots of Old World Olive Companies on there. And if we were talking about spices for tailgating.
Right.
They've got these beautiful little packets all pre-built.
Mm-hmm.
Just go into any one of the Old World Olive Press stores. Old World Olive Company now it's called.
Yep.
And you can pick up these beautiful little packets of spices. And then you're not guessing.
Right. Yeah, it's all made for you. Like I said.
Put it in your tailgate box.
Yep. Have it with you. So what else you like to eat at a tailgate?
Anything free.
Well, that happens. But that's part of the reason that you do it, is you get people to come around and you're socializing.
Seagulls.
Having a little something to eat.
Yeah.
But, you know, tubular meat is always good.
Those
travel easy brats, hot dogs. Whatever. Our friends at Sobeys make these wonderful meat sticks, and he's got like, I don't know, a dozen flavors, probably two dozen flavors in that meat counter. And they're wonderful because they're all cooked, they're ready to go, and you can just throw a bag of those out, cut them up in little pieces, throw some cube cheese out, and bam,
you've
got a great little snack.
Yeah, and you know what like the hottest food category in America is right now?
What's that?
Mexican.
Yep.
I had... And my friends at Sabor Mexicano, they're going to be on the show in a couple weeks when they formally open their brick and mortar store in Lowell. These boys and girls
right.
know how to whip up some Mexican food. And I was in Sobe the other day, and I noticed he had chorizo. Well, I was in the back hanging out at the smokers with the boys, and they pulled out a rack of, and I said, "What's that?" And they go, "Andouille and chorizo." And I'm like, "I didn't know you guys had chorizo." And they said, "Yeah, we." Tim says, "Yeah, we started making it for one of these Sanchez or somebody, and one of he does a lot of restaurant. Awesome, fantastic! They sell it raw, frozen bulk too.
Okay.
So if you want to do a Mexican meal, you can buy the raw stuffed, and that's just all the stuff Sobe has. So
yep,
I think if you're doing tailgating and you're not doing a Mexican category, you might be missing out on.
There's something else that you can do too. Is if you've got a little heat source, pre-make your meat and cook it the night before, and throw it in the frizz, and then you're just warming it up at the tailgate, and you're not actually cooking something. It makes it go quicker. I'm thinking like taco meat, right? If you wanted chicken, you wanted pulled chicken, you wanted pork, you wanted that's easy to make all that stuff the night before, and then just bring it to the tailgate and heat it back up, and you're making tacos for everybody, man.
Yeah.
And people love tacos, right? I mean, you know what you like on your tacos. It's easy to bring. Everything's cut up, prepared, ready to go. You're just assembling them there.
And that's why I say the chorizo at Sobeys is something you got to look at, because, I mean, if you ever make a taco with chorizo, you won't go back to ground beef.
Right, right.
Pretty boring.
Yep. There's a lot of spice in that chorizo. Mm-hmm. Really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really
so good stuff. By doing that, you know, you're working on your profiles, and now you're taking a step up in your grilling skills, and this is the progression we were alluding to at the beginning of the show. And
I'm thinking that the tailgate is a ton of fun. Bring a lot of paper towel. You're always cleaning up something. You got stuff setting everywhere, and you got to, you know. The other thing is try not to plan too much cooking. If it's you that are doing it, we cater tailgates. Different story for us. But if it's me just going, I want to cook for like the first 15 or 20 minutes and then be done with it. And eat, and because things have got to cool down for me to pack them back in the car and get ready to go into the game. And if I'm cooking right up till game time, I'm missing the first quarter because I can't leave my equipment setting out all over the parking lot, right? I got to pack it all up and put it back in the car before we go into the game.
Yeah, so, because it won't be there when you get back.
Well, probably not, but you know what I mean. It's just plan like that because the hot things need to cool down. And maybe you've created some grease if you made burgers, and you got to clean a little bit of grease up before you put it back in your car. So there's just a little bit of planning there that has to happen with your tailgate, but they're a ton of fun. I mean, I derive a lot of pleasure out of watching people come up and eat something that we've made and go, wow, this is a tailgate food. This is awesome.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the colleges have boxed us out of the ability to do those gigs we used to do because they were very profitable for us, but they were fun.
Right.
They were a ton of fun because we got to be friends with these corporations, presidents and owners that would hire us, law firms, whoever, and you look forward to doing that tailgate every year.
Right.
Now we don't.
Yeah.
Just can't.
Yeah, we just got to do them on private property. That's all. Right? We can't be on. But anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM and anywhere you're listening. And we appreciate you tuning in. We kind of wandered through the show today, but hey, it's a little bit of fun.
That's like every week.
Right. So we appreciate you tuning in. Get out in your backyard. Get out in the tailgate. Have some fun. Feed some people. And we'll talk with you next week.
Yeah. See ya.